we're spending this time like stressing out over work or social media or whatever it is, and then that's time that's just gone that we'll never get back. So taking that into consideration and just being patient and doing what you need to do to be happy, whether that's like eating a burger or having a smoothie or taking a social media hiatus. Just doing what feels best for you.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Currently Bossing podcast, powered by the Boss Up Inc. On this podcast, we discuss all things relating to career, social media, influencer marketing, and what it really takes for you to create your mark in today's digital landscape. I'm your host, Brittany Nicole, founder and CEO of the Boss Up Inc. Hi, bosses. Welcome back to the Currently Bossing podcast, powered by the Boss Up Inc., where we help female entrepreneurs and creators bridge the gap between boss life and wellness, ensuring that they become a more balanced boss. I'm your host, Brittany Nicole, and today we're chatting with Taya Knapp. Taya grew up diagnosed with a stress disorder caused by PTSD, which she dealt with throughout her young adulthood. Determined to follow her dreams regardless of her condition, Taya moved to NYC at the age of 18 to become a model. This experience allowed her to create a career and build the confidence she needed to overcome her stress disorder at 21. Seeing her own growth and accomplishments in life inspired Taya to pursue an education in psychology. Taya decided to dedicate her life to helping others and feeling empowered in their mental health journey. In July 2021, she founded her nonprofit organization, A Safe Space Mentor Corp. Her organization provides accessibility to luxury self-care experiences such as retreats, getaways, and events for young adults in the BIPOC community at no charge. These retreats create a space for people to detach from technology and create connectedness, stillness, and peace with nature and themselves.
Okay, Taya, welcome to the show. I'm super excited to have this conversation with you because so many women in our audience really resonate with, how can they do a deep dive into their wellness journey? How do they get started? And so I'm excited for you to chat more about that.
Yes, me too. Thank you so much for thinking of me.
Of course. So I always like to start with this question for our guests to understand more about you and your background. So can you give us a little bit more details about you and your career story?
Sure. So my career story, I guess it starts with everything really comes back to my mental health. So when I was a child, I went through PTSD, which formed an autoimmune disorder and had me like in and out of the hospital for a long time. Trying to figure out, what it was that was affecting my body and specifically, my gastro part of my body, So a lot of stress, we know, starts to inflict your stomach and then affect your whole body. And anyways, at the age of 19, I kind of had this awakening where it was all in my mind and that this was something that I could release on my own. And during that time, I started to take my mental health a lot more seriously. I had moved to New York City for a brief period of time to start my modeling career and got kind of stressed out. And then I went back to North Carolina and was like, okay, what can I do for my community? So that was a part of like what helped me heal a lot too. So I started an organization called The Project You. And at first it was supposed to be like a model mentorship program. So I was bringing on these young adults who were like my age and older, people who wanted to model, but maybe like didn't think that they had the resources to model or, whatever the industry was looking for. And I kind of just helped them find that potential and, just be creative and build community. So that was the start of where I was like, okay, so this is something that I'm meant to do, is help people and bring people together. But at the moment I was not ready for this responsibility. It started to grow very fast.
Right.
I wasn't ready. I was like, wait, I'm still 19. So I moved back to the city and I did my modeling for a few years and I worked on myself mentally, spiritually, physically. And and I overcame my PTSD and my stress disorder. I hadn't been sick for years.
Amazing.
Yes. So I'm very proud of that. And then during the pandemic, I was like, okay, how can I expand this even more so that I can help people that may have dealt with things that I have gone through or worse? How can I just be there to make a change? So I enrolled in college. So I'm currently in school for psychology.
Nice.
Yes. I still got a long way to go, but
it's okay.
Yeah.
I'll get there.
Right. And and then I started a safe space in July 2021. And it's just been amazing since then. It's like, been great.
Well, congratulations on all of that, because in a short amount of time, you've hit so many milestones and have overcome so much. And I think it's important to note how you are self-aware as far as like maybe like what your triggers were or like what you felt like was coming up for you during that time, and you overcame it. And I think that oftentimes when we think about stress, we go automatically to like maybe like panic attacks, anxiety, and things like that, when stress can affect so much of your body without you fully even knowing that it's affecting that. So I'm really excited to dive in more with you about that, because that's important, especially in entrepreneurship or like when you're freelancing, just how to combat that on a day-to-day basis.
Right. Being aware of, you know, how your body is feeling and like just checking in with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess going along with that and overcoming that and just maybe coming into form with like different coping mechanisms you have to combat those anxious or feelings of panic. What would you say is your typical morning routine? Like what wellness practices do you infuse in there to like help you ease into the day?
Yeah, I would say my morning routine, well, first of all, I am like not a morning but when I'm starting my wellness
journey, it's hard.
It's hard. And people are like, yeah. Oh, you know, early bird gets the worm. And I'm like, that's just not who I am.
So are you more of a night owl person?
I would say so. Yeah, that's when I feel most creative, like late afternoon into the evening. Mm-hmm. So I start my morning with, you know, giving myself time to rest as much as I need. You know, and I think that's important rather than saying, oh, I got to wake up at 5 a.m. to get this opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I'm all here for that. But for me, I have found that doing what my body needs in the morning is more. So I wake up when my body alarm wakes me up first. I start with drinking lots of water, my coffee, because I'm getting over a coffee addiction, but
can't function without it.
No. So, you know, I start with my cappuccino. Check the emails. Honestly, I get right into it. I get right into the day, the work day, like immediately. I have my coffee and I'm like on the computer. I'm not even going to lie. I start with a meditation or something like that because I don't.
But that's okay because you're listening to your body and you're still taking that into effect. And so you don't have to have like a certain practice because every day is different.
Exactly. You know, I mean, in the days that I really need it, I'm like, okay, girl, no, you need to sit down and do this meditation
first. Yeah, no, seriously.
But yeah, but generally, no, I start right into the work day and then usually I'll take a break in the afternoon and go for like a run to just like clear it all out, because we start like hunching up our shoulders and getting all tense. You know, once it hits 12, you're still looking at a screen. It's like, so I'll give myself time to reset and then come back to it. So.
That's good. And I'm glad that you said that too, like listening to what your body needs. Because I like to think of things in buckets, like maybe one day I don't feel called to read a chapter of a book. Maybe I feel more called to meditate or to journal or do another practice that I'm needing that day. So I think it's important to be self-aware in that. So if someone is having trouble, maybe like pouring into themselves, or they feel like they can't really pull away from work or just pull away from like society in general, social media, they have so many distractions. What would you recommend they do to realign and stay grounded with their day to day?
I would say the first thing is to keep in mind, you know, that we're only human. As far as like recommendations, like these are things that I just tell myself. So, you know, imposter syndrome is real and we get into comparing ourselves, especially on social media or even at work. And, you know, I would say like for me, it's just like at the end of the day, I'm a human being and I'm doing the best that I can. So remembering, you know, one day at a time. And I would say like just taking the time that you need, like saying no when you need to. I'm very big on like, we're never getting our time back. So you know, I cherish every single second. And even when my friends give me their time or their family, like I'm so grateful because I'm like, you could have spent that time with someone else, you know? So we're spending this time like stressing out over work or social media or whatever it is. And then that's time that's just gone that we'll never get back. So taking that into consideration and just being patient and, you know, doing what you need to do to be happy, whether that's like eating a burger or having a smoothie. Or taking a social media hiatus, you know, just doing what feels best for you and, you know, being selfish, I think is important. You know, I think that there's a big negative stigma around self being selfish. I think that it's so important and you're not going to be able to do anything for work or your friends or anybody if you're not there for yourself first. So
yeah, I agree. You have to prioritize yourself. And I feel like a lot of people learned that, especially going through this pandemic, how to prioritize themselves, their mental health. Because, I mean, if you're not 100%, you can't really pour 100% into anything that you're doing. So that's important to note. And these feelings that you brought up and these practices that you brought up, are these some of the things that people can expect when they join your wellness retreats or events? What are, I guess, some of the feelings that the retreats evoke?
Yeah, so our retreats can go from like super intense and emotional, or we're like just purging what we need to get out. To, you know, just taking the time to like chill and have that time where you're not like on a timeline or have any responsibilities to tend to. So I would say yes. Everything is optional at our retreats. We create activities and wellness programming to keep everyone productive if they want to be. But otherwise, you know, I'm a big advocate for like, if you need to go take a nap, you know, and not join us in this meditation or this activity, go take your nap, you know, if you need to go take a walk, go do that. So yes. Definitely prioritizing yourself is one of the biggest things at our retreats. And I would say just some other practices that I implement in my life to get over stress and depression. I bring those up as topics or themes for the retreat, and then we work through those. So that's when it gets kind of deep.
But it's always good to bring up your personal accounts because that's how you position yourself to be more relatable, and people need to hear that so they can feel vulnerable to share in that space, a safe space, share. So I think that that's awesome. What do you feel are some of the, I guess, initial feelings you want them to take away from the experience overall? I know everyone has different goals in mind when they attend the retreats, but I guess what's your initial hope?
I would say the initial things that I would like people to take away is, I would say forgiveness. That's been a big part of our retreats because I feel that for me, it has been what has allowed me to evolve in my life and make room, for growth. Because I feel like forgiveness is the beginning of your wellness journey. Like forgiving people who have harmed you in your life, forgiving yourself, forgiving scenarios, like losing your job or even like having bad weather on a night when you were like supposed to go out with your friends.
I don't know about you, but like, I feel like forgiving yourself is almost bigger than forgiving someone else.
100%. Yeah, 100%. Because we can even blame ourselves, like in relationships, we get with a guy and we're like, oh, how could I have wasted all that time in my life? Like, how didn't I see this? You know, so I think we start there, and that's a big takeaway for the people that come to these retreats. And this allows them to feel lighter going back and building on their relationships at home or building on themselves. I would say another takeaway is trust too. I think at our retreats, we really try to break down social anxiety, and that's become a big thing, you know, with the pandemic and with social media. And
I went to an event the other day, and I was like, I feel like I need to relearn how to function in events like this, where I'm around like my peers in these spaces. So I think that is a huge one, like you mentioned.
Yeah, I get the same way, and I've always been a super social person. Mm-hmm. But every time before I see everybody, I'm like, I got the bubble guts.
It's a real thing.
Yeah, I'm like looking at my phone when there's nothing to look at my phone, just as a crutch.
Scrolling.
Scrolling. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a big takeaway, because we bring strangers together, we put them in rooms together. Sometimes they have to share a room. And, you know, we have dinner together. People don't go off. Like, there's main things where it's like you have your alone time, but there's parts where you're going to be uncomfortable and have to be uncomfortable with that, with comfortable with feeling uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, every time I can say that people leave as a family or gaining a new best friend. And that's something it's been so beautiful to watch. Especially from the start of the trip, where everybody's like,
in their own bubble, to being like infused in the community.
Right. I would say like, there's a lot of bad in this world, and we know this, but you know, meeting the good people makes it even more special. It just reminds you that there are good people in this world still too. So I would say those two things are big, but I could go on and on. So
no, of course. I think forgiveness and trust are huge, especially when it comes to self, like trust, learning how to like retrust yourself after a certain situation, or forgive yourself after a certain situation. So I couldn't definitely agree with that. We're talking about the feelings that you want your attendees to have, but what were your feelings when you had your first retreat? Like, did you go through any imposter syndrome? Like, what emotions did you have?
Nobody asked me that one yet, but the first retreat, I was like, oh man, I was going through it. So I always have my partner with me too. He does the photography for us.
Nice.
He's always like, it's all right, you're going to be okay. And I'm like, no, leave me alone.
No, I love that. Being a supportive partner, that's great to have.
It's important. And all the girls love him, which is great, because you know, sometimes that masculine energy could just throw things off, but he's great. Yeah. So the first time I had, I don't know, it was like a group of maybe 8 women and planned, and I had 4 cancellations on the day of. And at this time, you know, I didn't have my 501c3 yet, so I wasn't getting sponsorship. So and I didn't get my job to do this. So it was like I poured in every cent of my money that I had left. I literally left with like $5. But you know, I'm gonna do this, you know. So I was freaking out. I was like, oh man, 4 people are gonna come. Are these 4 people even gonna come? And then I was like, well, if it's just me and you, we'll just enjoy this. But I was like, no, like this has to work out. So I was totally freaking out. I was like, it's over after this, I'm done. Like, yeah, I went through it. I was like, man. And then 4 amazing women came, and it was like, it was so meant to be, and it was so meant to be just that group, because of how fast we connected and how intimate it was. It just kind of like inspired me and like set the foundation for what I wanted to create. And so it was a blessing, you know, at the end of the day, but I for sure like went through it.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand. I feel like we all do, especially in that beginning phase when you're building something and you're trying to figure out if people will resonate with what you're building. And it just feels like this pressure that you put on yourself because, like you said, you quit your job to do it. And so it's just like, this needs to work out. But you reach four amazing people in an intimate environment, which I personally feel like is better because you're able to connect with people more. And then those four people trickle over into other things that you do. And so I'm pretty sure it's grown so much since then. So I guess talk about what you're, I guess, proud of as far as growth wise, as you've been navigating this journey.
I would say I'm proud of I would say that I'm proud of everything that I did on my own, but I'm like, I had so many people that played a part in helping me get here. So I'm proud of the connections that I made. And I'm proud of the impact that we've created so far in people's lives. And I'm proud of myself for like gaining the confidence, which was not easy because I remember, you know, when you have the drive to like really help your community and you have a mission, you have a passion or whatever it is, you're like, in the beginning when you don't know what you're doing, you're like this shaky person, like tears in your eyes, you know, and your heart is like just beating so fast, but it's like out of love, you know, and not to say that I'm there yet in any way, because I'm learning every day and getting better at growing this community and in this nonprofit, but I feel more comfortable and I feel more sure of what's ahead and proud that I can like be there for other women or men who are looking to do the same thing and like give them tools or resources that I learned. I'm proud that I can be that person for people now. You know, I don't have all the answers, but I try my best.
And so you're learning as you go, which is amazing.
Right.
Do you feel like during your journey you've hit like a creative block or have experienced burnout? And if so, can you share how maybe you've combat that or how others can combat that?
Yeah, definitely. So speaking of my mental health, I mean, I hadn't felt any like feelings of depression or anxiety in a very long time up until I started this. And in the beginning, before I had the license and all of the things in place, you know, it's really just a lot of like having your hand out and hoping people will lend a hand, you know, to make it happen. So it was a lot of no's in the beginning, you know, and that's okay. That's a part of it. But it definitely like took me down. Like I started to get very depressed, honestly, you know, and definitely doubting everything, even after like the first two retreats, which was the Hudson Valley, and then we went to Montana, which was amazing. But even after that, I was like still getting no's, and I was like, you know, when is it going to give? You know, I wasn't having the patience. Hard when you're passionate. And I honestly, I got through it through my friends, you know, I like to call them my tribe. But just, they were generous enough to let me vent to them. And they just reassured me and my partner that like, you know, I got this. And they're like reminding me of all the things that I had done already. And bringing me back to like gratitude and patience. My partner's always like, give it a year, give it a year.
I'm like, yes. No. So much can happen in a year though.
Yes. So true. Mm-hmm. In a year, now we're at that place. So I'm like, oh, yes, man, I'm freaking out for no reason. but otherwise, like during that time, I did things to make myself feel good. So other than talking to my friends, just like treating myself, going out to eat, you know, I put on a few extra pounds, which I love, but that was because I was like, what do I need right now? Like, do I need a cannoli? Like, what do I need to
Or do I need to be strict with myself? The answer is the first one.
So I just did those things, watched all the movies I needed to watch, and just poured into myself, took a few extra baths.
as you should. Now, but I love that because I think that when we look at the wellness space, I don't think that there's as many women of color as there should be. And I know for me, being a wellness creator, there's so many comments that I get that people saying like, oh my gosh, like a Black creator talking about wellness and mental health. And I'm just like so surprised because I know that I surround myself with other women of color who share in that space, but it opened my eyes to the fact that that's not what everybody is seeing on a day to day. And that is very much, we're very much still underrepresented. So I'm glad that you felt the need to push forward because we definitely need more of that.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely. And I see that too. It's another reason why I pushed through because I, you know, our stuff is retreat based and a lot of these retreats and luxury resorts and these opportunities are thousands and thousands of dollars. And these people that are leading a lot of like indigenous practices, nothing against, they are not indigenous or, you know, they're not culturally attached or can, nor can they relate. And, you know, I love that they're here to heal people. But it's beautiful when you can see somebody who is, who can relate and who is connected, you know, to what they're preaching and what they're practicing. So I'm right here with you. I'm like, we need more.
And without the pressures of feeling like you have to look a certain way, right? To fully infuse yourself into like these wellness practices. Like I know, you know, if you get on TikTok and get on social media in general and you would think like, oh, like I need to look this way. I need to have this type of aesthetic. I need to lead this type of life in order to feel included. So it's important to build a space that is inclusive to that and to show people that you don't need to show up perfect. You just have to show up.
Oh yeah. I'm all here for the sweatpants and beat up Nikes.
Same. But you know, talking more about that and just like here for the Boss Up, we definitely are all about helping women become more balanced bosses and in their career and in life, because like we talked about earlier, you can't be 100% in your business if you're not 100% in self. So do you, I guess, what are your thoughts on work-life balance? Do you feel like it's achievable? And how do you feel like you're balancing a safe space with maybe like your regular day-to-day activities?
Yeah, I think that that's extremely important. I mean, I'm not like a doctor or anything, but heart disease is real. You know, and people say it happens with men, but it happens with women too. High blood pressure, all that stuff. And, you know, that's the first thing that I think of. I'm like, no, not my heart, not today. And yeah, I mean, going back to like, you have to pour into yourself first before you can be there for your community. Because I mean, just the other day, I like sent out an email to somebody that I was working with and it was okay. But I'm like, it probably wasn't the best response, but it was because I was just like rushing, trying to get it done, you know? And I was like, oh man, I should have like just taken time for myself before I went ahead and sent that email. And so I would say that it, you know, it's very important to say like, this is my allotted time for work. You know, this is my time to shut everything off, you know, go to a yoga class, watch some Netflix, you know, cook your dinner and turn on your music. I mean, like while I'm working, I have to have music playing all day. I can't just be sitting there like in silence, you
what
know,
kind of music.
Well, I have Jasmine Sullivan on repeat. but other than her, I'm like big on like 90s R&B. So, you know, you got to set the vibe. Not that there's anything wrong with the L's, but it's like you need those high vibrations. So, or just taking your laptop outside and sitting in the sun to do your work.
And while we can.
Right, exactly. While we can. So yeah, I would say just like prioritizing your time, you know?
So what new initiatives do you all have, or new retreats that you all have coming down a pipeline that our listeners can dive into?
Oh, we have so many. I'm so excited. So in August, we're actually going on one next week. We're going to Adirondack Safari, which is like a glamping experience.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that'll be cool. We're going to Dripping Springs, Texas at the end of August.
Okay.
It's for a mom and her new baby. So they haven't been able to join the other retreats yet because they were, you know, they had to have the baby process. But so I wanted to do this for her and give her time with her baby to just like have her time, you know.
I love that.
Yeah. So we're going on a little week retreat with her and the baby. And then in September, we're going to Tennessee, Chattanooga. Mm-hmm. We're going to be going to the Dwell Hotel and going hiking. We're going to go to, they have these really cool like caves and all these Black owned businesses and restaurants. There's a lot of culture there. So we're going to explore that. And then we have a week long retreat in Hilton Head, South Carolina on the beach.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. It's going to be a big group. It'll be 12 of us. And we're doing that in partnership with Pacifica, which is a dope brand.
Yes.
And they're very aligned with the mission. And that's really important to with anybody that we work with. And then we're going to Wyoming at the end of September. October, we're going to Philly. Next year, we're going to be working with this wellness retreat center in, I don't want to butcher it, but this place in Mexico, the city, I don't want to butcher the name, but we'll be going to Mexico. And then we have Ghana planned for next summer. So I'm very excited.
Exciting. Mm-hmm. I think I want to join that one.
Yes. Let me know.
I mean, they all sound lovely. But I've been talking about going there for so long that would be amazing. But that's amazing. I feel like there's so many that they could dive into. And how should they go about signing up for the retreat? What's the process typically like?
So the only thing that we ask of people is that they fill out an application. Okay. So we have an application where we just kind of like vet people to make sure that we can provide the resources at these retreats that they're looking for, because we cater them based on themes. So like our South Carolina retreat is about body positivity and feeling empowered as a woman and how our body changes. So picking people that are specifically trying to work on that and build community in that way. We have people fill out an application, we vet them, and then we choose randomly from there. The link is on our website. And that's pretty much it. Super easy. Everything is paid for. The only thing we ask is that they usually take care of their travel to the spot, but otherwise we take care of the rest. So
nice. I love that mission. And I love that, you're providing these experiences for people who might not feel like they're accessible to them otherwise. Which is amazing to me. Do you have any other things that we should know about? Any final thoughts?
So we are also working on opening up our own retreat center. Yes, the goal is...
What does that consist of?
So it will be a retreat center. So we'll basically be providing temporary housing for young adults in the BIPOC community to come and find rehabilitation, find, their mental health journey and just kind of reset. And that will be on an application base too. And it'll be open year round. So we'll do it based on like how long people need to stay. So if they need to stay a few weeks or if they need to stay a few months, that's pretty much how we're going to do things. So that's in the works. And we also have wellness events every month. We have a book club and we have a hiking group. So yeah, all the information's on our website. Mm-hmm. And we are also going to be including men soon.
Okay.
Yeah, in 2023.
Good to know. Okay.
the men need some healing too, you know.
What made you come to that decision to make it open to men as well?
You know, I have been thinking about it a lot. And I've been like up and down about it. But actually, to be honest, yesterday was when I had my epiphany. So now
that's important.
Yeah, it's important because I had a moment. I was at Summer Good, which is a community center in Brooklyn, and they were having a wellness event. And there were so many beautiful men there that were super engaged and really wanting and wanting to be a part of this wellness community and be a part of the conversation and wanting to heal. And I was like, oh man, you know, I gotta make space for the men too. So we're planning in February to have a men's retreat. So all the girls, you know, let your guys know, your brothers, your fathers, let them know.
So, I love that. And yeah. I think that's important because I think that when you think about the wellness space, you don't really see many men either. I see like a few men in the wellness space, but not as many as women. So that's amazing that you're opening it up to them as well so that they can take part in the journey too.
Right, exactly. And I'll let my partner handle that. He's been like, you know, training this. So I'll just be in the background. Good. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And now he gets to lead one. That's awesome.
Exactly. That's the plan. Yeah.
I think that's a great trade-off.
Oh, right. Exactly.
That's great. Well, this was amazing. I am definitely going to have all of your information in the description box for our listeners, but I just want to thank you so much for being on the show, sharing your resources and your insight. And I know that so many listeners will definitely resonate with your message.
Oh, thank you so much, Brittany. I'm honored. Thank you for thinking of me.
If you're not already, be sure to follow us over on Instagram at currentlybossing and thebossupinc. If you love our podcast, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. Your rating helps us to reach other bosses like you who are ready to level up and reach their truest potential. Tune in every Monday for our newest podcast episodes. We'll talk to you then. Bye.